Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatuck. Stay tuned and focused and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
I want to look at Psalm number 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies, my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. It's getting good already. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear ye, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger, but thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies, for the false witness is risen against me, and such that breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. May God of the blessing, those hearers and doers of his word, the grass wither, the flower fade away, the word of God stands forever. Amen. 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 We've been talking about knowing God. Knowing God. One thing I know that we have to do is get to know who God is. Amen. And I want to continue talking about knowing God, but I want to use for a subtitle of in this series, Kept by the Power of God. Amen. And so when we talk about knowing God, you know, this is not something that, you know, people say they know God. They say they know God, but what they really know is religion. What they really know is church and the formalities of church. You give them about a year or two in church, they know just how to quicken and jerk whenever something happens. They know how to pray my strength in the Lord, testify. Give them a little while, they know how to dress. They know how to carry a Bible a certain way. They know how to get that serious, dignified look while in church. Amen. Amen. We know how to do that because we get familiar with people. And we get so familiar with people that sometimes that interferes with us getting to know God. Because we're always looking at people, worrying about who don't like us, who don't want to hear us, who won't receive us. Well, I'm not worried about that. Jesus says that if they don't receive you, it's just like them not receiving me. So this business is not really personal. But when you have a personal relationship with God, then you understand that. Amen. Amen. People know the formalities. They know how to come in church. They know how to go out. You don't have to be old to know when we grew up in the Baptist church, you get up and if you're going to move. You put that Baptist finger up and you walk out of the church or in. And this was the, you know, I don't know what it really meant, but I guess, excuse me, I'm going out. But we know how to do those things. But then when it comes to knowing who God is, if you ask half the people that go to church, have they witnessed to someone and they got them to the point of salvation, half of the church will say, no, I haven't. It's sad, but it's true. If you ask them to explain to you the Trinity and explain the triuneness of God, they will not know. Amen. If you ask them, what do they believe, that there's going to be a rapture? Is there a pre-tribulation rapture or a post-tribulation rapture? They don't know. All of these things we should know because we say we know God. Amen. And so if we don't know those things, we haven't arrived yet. But we always want to go on to something else fanatical rather than finding out who God really is. I'm reminded of the scriptures where Moses, the lightning struck and the thunder roared. And then the people who were with Moses, they said, Moses, who you think you are? We know God, too. We can hear from him, too. And when the lightning hit and the thunder roared, they stepped back and said, nah, Moses, you go on. You go on up the mountain. You talk to God yourself. We're too afraid to go that far to get to know him. Even Elijah, the prophet, he was in a place and there was a thunderstorm, there was rain, there was wind. And it says, the Bible says that God was not in any of that, any of the theatrics, but God spoke in a still, quiet voice. See, we think we know God. We think we know how God is going to move. But then God turns around and surprises us and does something totally different. The disciples one day thought that they knew God. They thought they knew who Jesus was. And they turned one day and then they went and got on the ship. And then Jesus came walking on the water and they thought it was a spirit. And they feared. And then Peter said, if it be you, bid me to come. When he came to them in a new way, they didn't understand. Amen. They thought they knew him. They thought they knew him. And then later on, they said, Jesus asked him, said, men say I'm, who do men say I am? And then they said, who do you say that I am? Only one of them could answer the question. And when we say we know God, we should know who he is, his attributes. We have been talking about the sovereignty of God. And when you understand the sovereignty of God, you understand that you have less to do with your being here than you think you do. You understand that you have less to do with your prayers being answered than just God saying that I was going to do that anyway. Amen. You cannot be right enough to make God recognize you, so you have to come through Jesus Christ. You can fast all you want. You can read all you want. You can do all this. You can shout, run up and down the church. But unless you're covered by the blood of Jesus. Because when he sees you, he has to see you through the blood. Because your righteousness is as filthy rags. But when we know him, we know that. It's important to know God. Amen? And so when we talk about this psalm, when we get here, we're talking about this psalm, Psalm number 27, which is a well-known psalm. It is a psalter. It is one of the most well-known psalters that are in the canon or in the book of Psalms. This psalm is a psalm that was written by David. Now, I don't know if it was because David wrote this because of all that he had been through, or it was a particular situation that he might have been going through that made him want to write the psalm that we call Psalm number 27. Now, it is a well-known psalm. It is a psalm of comfort. Because it tells you how, if you're going through anything, no matter what it is that happens in your life, that God's presence is right there with you and everything is going to be all right. It is not only a comforting psalm, but this psalm expresses the confidence that we should have in the power of God. And so this psalm allows us to see that if you want to be kept, God can keep you. Amen. David opens up this psalm with his personal reliance on the power of God. And he talks about, first off, in the first three verses, he talks about the presence of God. So David goes on to say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Now, when we look at the word Lord, that is the word Yahweh in the Hebraic or in the Aramaic, which is what it was written in. It is the word Yahweh, which means that he is the self-existent one. He don't need anybody else to exist. Amen? The Lord is my light and my salvation. The word salvation there is the same word that we translate the name Jesus from, Yeshua. So let's read that the way it'll be written. It says, the Lord or Yahweh is my light and my Jesus. He's my light and my Jesus. I'm going somewhere. Just stay with me for a minute. And so he said, he's my light and my salvation, or my Yeshua, which we get the word Jesus. He says, whom shall I fear? And so if the Lord is my light, my or, amen, he's my morning sun, he's my happiness, he's my illumination, the Lord is. David did a lot of the Lord is because he got to know the Lord. He said that in Psalm number 23, said the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. And so he talks about here the presence of God being with him, and he begins to say, the Lord is my light. Now, when we start talking about light, we have to understand that God is light. He is the father of what? Lights. Amen. And look, there's no darkness in him. Amen. There's no mystery in him, because he begins to reveal himself to you as you want to know him. Amen. God is not in the business of hiding things from you and you never find out what's going on. God wants you to know. But he wants you to know and understand so that you don't panic, so that you'll trust him. Amen. Amen. And so God wants to reveal himself to you, but he doesn't reveal himself all at once. That's why the Hebrews, in their very descriptive language, when they came up with a name for God, they would always attribute his name to what he had done for them, what was revealed. For instance, when he provided a lamb to Abraham, instead of him offering up his son Isaac, he called him Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord that provides. And so he recognized him as a provider. Then we find that he'll be Jehovah Nisi. What is that? The Lord, our righteousness, that he is our righteousness. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's the Lord God of peace. Whatever he is, whatever he became to them when he revealed himself, they understood and they called him by that name. So the David said, the Lord is my light. And Paul says in the book of Timothy, he says the Lord is an unapproachable light. In other words, you really can't go into that light because it's too bright. You have to, and one early church father said that it's like looking into the sun. You must once become blind in order to really see. Amen. And so Paul says this light is unapproachable. Job says that he wraps himself in light. And when we talk about this, we have to understand that this is the only scripture in the Old Testament that refers to God as actually being light. He said, the Lord is my what? Light. In other words, God enables me to see what? God enables me to see what I couldn't see without him. God illuminates the area so that I can see all the, even the dangers, all the stuff that is around you, the dangers, the pitfalls ahead. If you trust God, he will show you those things. He said, the Lord is my light. And when we talk about light, it is illumination. John says that he is the light, and he is the light of men. He said, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And he goes on to talk about that this word, Jesus, was the light of men. And he talks about that this light shineth in what? Darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So God is not looking for you to stay in darkness, but he calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Why is it marvelous? Because it puts you in a place where you can see clearly. It puts you in a place where you don't have to wonder whether or not he's going to deliver. You just need to know that he's a deliverer. You don't have to wonder or not whether or not he loves you. You need to know that we're more than conquerors through him that loves us. You need to know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We need to know that. Amen. The Lord is my light and my salvation. In other words, now, not only is he light, when you have the presence of God around, not only will God be light to you, not only will he be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, but God, he says, is my salvation. He's my deliverance. He's my freedom. He's my liberty. The word salvation really means deliverance. What he's saying here is that no matter what I get caught in, because God is my light. And when God is your light, that means he's your energy source. He's what gives me the energy to want to run on. When Jesus sent the disciples away when he was at the well with the Samaritan woman, they came back with food, and Jesus said, I got meat that you know not of. In other words, Jesus said, I'm energized by doing the will of my Father. When you got God's presence around you, then you don't have a problem being motivated to praise him. You don't have a problem being motivated to come to him, to keep every appointment with him. Come on and say amen here. And he said, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He goes on to talk more about how powerful God is being in his presence. He says, the Lord is the strength of my life. In other words, God is so strong. God is the one that keeps me, keeps my heart beating. He keeps me pressing on. He said, now why should I be afraid of anybody? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. There are some things that's not going to be favorable that may weaken me at some point. But God is my strength of my life. So sometime when I feel weak, then I can really say I am strong. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. He said, whom shall I be afraid? Even if the enemy wants to put fear and strike fear in your heart, you need to know that God is your strength to overcome all fears. Let's go on. The wicked, my enemies, my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh. They what? Stumbled and fell. When we look at this, we have to understand that there are some wicked. Amen. The word wicked, it means to break to pieces, and it means also good for nothing. Amen. So what the wicked does, the wicked come to try to break you to pieces, come to try to break your dreams, break up your happy home. Preach anyway. Break up your family. Come on and say amen. He come to break up the church. That's what he come to do. And so since the wicked comes and is good for nothing, the things that seem to be good for nothing, he says, even my enemies, my foes, those who are against me, those who are not with me, he said, they came to eat up my flesh. They came to devour me. But they stumbled and fell. If God's presence is with you, even if the enemy do come. And look, we got to quit focusing on the fact that they came. Oh, the enemy came against me. Look like the enemy did this. Look like the enemy did that. We got to quit focusing on what the enemy done and look at what God did. He said they stumbled and fell. In other words, if they try to get to me, they're going to trip over what God's put there. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Now, don't ask your enemy why they're tripping. They're tripping because God tripped them. Oh, hallelujah. So guess what? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, they came upon me, and they didn't just want me to fail, but they wanted to devour me. They wanted to destroy me, because the devil comes to do what? Steal, kill, and to destroy. You got to know that there's not just one devil. There's a bunch of devils. Amen. There's now Satan in his, he's the leader of the group of devils, but we need to know that there are some enemies out there that we need to make sure that we are not fearing, because God is in us and God is with us. Amen. And so since God is with us, guess what the enemy does? He stumbles and he falls. They fumble around. They can't really achieve what they want to achieve. You thought that they did something to you, but that's not what they really wanted to do. They wanted to do worse than that, and God wouldn't let them. I wish I had somebody here. They wanted to try to do worse than what you thought they was going to do. And then God said, no, I have to stop them right there. You see, there's a line drawn that God said, this is as far as you can go. You can't do all of that. You know, remember when the devil came, the Bible says that they were the sons of God that came present themselves before God in the book of Job. And he said, and Satan also came among them. And he said, Satan, what you been, what you want? And Satan said, I've been to and fro the earth, seeking whom I may devour. God knew exactly where he'd been, because God don't slumber nor sleep. He sits high and look low. So he had his eye on the righteous. Who was the righteous at that time? Job. And since God has his eye on Job, he knows that the devil's been walking around Job's house, and he says, have you considered my servant Job? Preach anyway. And so what God is saying and showing us in that is that he has control of it all, and even Satan has to get permission to come mess with you. Oh, Satan is saying that, oh yeah, God, if you just let me do this, I guarantee I'll make them fall short. I guarantee I'll get them to curse you to your face and stop serving you. And Job did just the opposite. Job shaved his head and said, naked I came in, naked I came out. God give it, God take it away. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, come on and say amen. He said, when the wicked, even my enemies, came to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and they fell. Look at his personal reliance on God. He relied on God to do it, but many times we rely on us to do it. We try to tell people off. We try to explain ourselves. We try to make people understand where we're coming from. We go around and whisper and talk to everybody else rather than talking to the people or the person who we need to really talk to. Come on and say amen. Stop. It's time to stop all of that kind of stuff and do it the way God said do it. Too many times we take it upon our own self to do it our own way. And when we do it our own way, we make a mess of it, and then we turn around and say, oh God, I don't know why they're doing me so wrong. You the one started the mess. You got in the mess. You made the mess. But thank God that he's in the business of cleaning up messes and giving you a message for this message. Amen. So he says in verse 3, the host should encamp against me. My heart shall not fear. The war rises against me, and this will I be confident. I like that. And I'm trying to, you know, I'm not trying to rush through this. I want you to know that, so don't rush me. He says, even though my enemies, look at this, they want to eat me up. But then not only that, I'm in the midst of, I'm being encamped against, and look, my heart's not going to fear because God has strengthened my heart. He says, the war, there's a battle going on, and it's rising up against me. The enemy has declared war against me. And you know how sometimes people declare, or you see on the TV, people declare war, and you're like, what they fighting about? Well, sometimes they don't even know what they're fighting about. Sometimes you don't know what you did for the devil to do what he's trying to do to you. And guess what? You don't have to do nothing but be saved. And he's going to try, huh? He says, the war rises against me. He says, in this will I be confident. He says, I'm confident that God's presence is going to be with me. I'm confident that God is going to make a way for me. I'm confident that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from them all. I'm confident of what God can do. Come on and say hallelujah. You know, there used to be a song that used to sing. They said that Jesus is real, for I can feel him in my soul. And then they also said this, that I won't ever doubt him because I know too much about him. If you know anything about God, you know that his presence is always there. I don't care how bad it get, the only thing that can help me is the presence of the Lord. Amen. And so he said, I'm confident. He said, I'm confident in this thing. I believe I'm secure in this thing. And so the Bible even tells us, cast not off your confidence. But sometimes we are not so confident, so we think that we got to do something. We think that we got to do something different in order to gain that confidence. But let me tell you something. If you ain't confident in God now by knowing how powerful and who he is, let's imagine this. Just think about God. And he's created everything in the universe. He's put the sun up there and man can't even approach it. But his brightness is brighter than the sun. You think about that he took the earth and he put it on an axis and he spinned it. Come on and say amen. But then he lined up other planets along with it that travels around the sun, and then gave it a moon and hung it in the sky to give light at night, and the stars. He put all of that there, and then little old me with my little old problems can't realize that he's a big old God. And since he's a big God, why should I worry about my little problems when I know that he can fix it if he wants to? When it's in his hand, it is for him to do. It is his work that I'm trusting in. I'm confident. Trying to build you today. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Now, he goes into from his personal reliance on the power of God by expressing his confidence in God's presence, and then he jumps into a prayer. They believe that this psalm was actually two psalms put together. Because one talks about the trust in God, then the other one talks about his prayer to God. But look at this. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Look at his desire. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. The one thing that David said is that all I want to do is talk to him. We got a whole bunch of stuff we want to do. All I really want is his presence. To get so in his presence that when I talk to him, he talks back. But see, we're not to that point, because most of the time, him talking to us is not enough. His word to us is not enough. We have to go seek other things. We got to get everybody's opinion. Preach anyway. You can be quiet. That's all right. We got to search out what somebody else is saying, what somebody else is doing. We're not confident in just God. I did something the other day. I posted something on Facebook to see the reaction of people who were churchgoers. And I only did it to see how people would react to something that they had been taught that wasn't even biblical, that hadn't been expressed in God's expression in the canon of the Bible, just to see. Man, people got offended, and they asked me, you read this book, you read that book? No, I read the books. Because the book they telling you to read, you know, it's, some man wrote that, and that's his theory. But what did God say about it? The duty of us, of mankind, is to get to know God and to inquire in his presence, to go to him and ask him. And when you ask him, he will answer. He said, for in the time of trouble, see, and this is what David, just like any one of us, in the time of trouble, he understood that if I go to God, then he's going to help me out. And that's what we understand as mankind. We know that if we go to God when things are not right, he's going to help us. He's going to reach out to us. And what we understand is sometimes our problem, because the only time we go to God is when we have trouble. He said, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, and in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me upon a rock. Amen. In other words, God, he's saying that whenever I run to God, God always put me in a place, in a secret place, and hides me from the hand of my enemy. And so whenever, this is the problem here, because a lot of times when we get the enemy on our trail, we want to lash out at people. We want to try to come against people. But what he's saying is that you need to just go to God and let him cover you. Let him hide you from them. They'll be looking for you. And sometimes what we got to understand too is that sometimes people are looking for you to give them a certain reaction. They'll be looking for you to cuss them out. They'll be looking for you to throw a fit. They'll be looking for you to say something out of character. But you got to say, you can look for me all you want, because my life is hidden in him. So what you're looking for, you can't see, because there's not that person not here. Because God has covered me. He's hidden me from you so that you can't accuse me of doing something. So that you, oh, I wish somebody, I'm preaching to one or two people. That's all right. You one or two, you catch on to that. He said he'll hide me in his pavilion, and in the secret of his tabernacle, in the dwelling place of God, he will hide me, and he'll set me upon a rock. In other words, he give me a solid place to stand. All other is sinking sand, all the mud. And David said he picked me up out of the muck and miry clay and placed my feet on a rock. We got to understand that when he places our feet on a rock, who's that rock? Jesus is the rock. Oh, we used to sing that song, my Jesus is a rock in a weary land. But Jesus is a rock. And so when we stand upon the rock, he gives us sure footing. And then that lets us know that we're not going to slip and slide.